Converting to new practice management software has led to bitter feelings, foul language, even trips to the hospital. It doesn't have to be that way, and we're going to show you how now. Got another great podcast for you. Mike Cusimano's back with us again today to talk about practice management software conversion. Generally a very painful process, but we're going to show you how it's not. So let's not delay any further. Head straight out to my interview with Michael Cusimano. All right, we are back with Mike Cusimano. Mike, welcome back. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, no, my pleasure. My pleasure. How you guys been?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Excellent. Me here in the audience have been having an exciting time.
Well, you know, that's the beautiful thing. You know, I know we've been talking a lot about cloud-based computing, but, you know, for the audience, Bart and I have been doing a lot of work together, and I know he's been working with a lot of other people in the industry, and we don't have to be in the same office, and that's not a bad thing. It's definitely cut down on my wardrobe costs. And, you know, to be quite honest, Bart, sometimes you would stink when we would work together. So this gives me an opportunity to maintain my personal relationship with Bart.
See,
and professional relationship at the same time.
This is the beauty of technology right here. And I want you to know that I'm up to bathing like twice a week now. So
Hey, well, you got me beat, you know, with the two kids.
Yeah.
It's just... we never have time to get in the bath. So.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
Enough of that. I am happy to be back virtually or in person.
Sounds good. Okay, well, let's jump into it. You know, when we last left our story, we were talking about cloud computing systems and costs and some of the options. One of the questions that came up that we didn't discuss on our podcast that I wanted to circle back with you and talk about was that some of the claims from some of, I guess, what I'll call traditional patient accounting software systems are that the cloud computing systems are just too slow. You're attached to the speed of the internet connection, and you're sitting around spending a lot of time just waiting. What's your response on that?
Well, that definitely can happen. I'm not saying that it can't, but it can happen with any system. And that's what I want to talk about. You know, to say, and I think what you had sent me in an email is that this client or doctor had made a broad generalization that cloud-based solutions are inferior because they're slow. And that is what I want to address, because I don't want people to just take that at face value. There are issues. It can be slower, but there may be several reasons, or there's some things that I'd like everybody to consider out there. Number one, consider that the system itself may not be slow. What may be slow is your connection to the internet, and that can happen for several reasons. You know, if you're in a older city that has a lot of older, let's say, telecommunications technology in the ground, you know, the phone lines are old, the cell towers are old, your connection to the internet's going to be old. Or if you're just in an old part of town, your connection to the internet could be slow. Or if you're not paying for the fastest connection, your connection to the internet could be slow. That is going to make a cloud-based solution slower, no doubt about it. That's one thing to consider. If you're an office that isn't on a cloud-based solution, consider upgrading your internet connection now. If you're an office that's on it and you're experiencing some slowness, contact your vendor, your internet service provider. See what you can do. Maybe UVerse is coming to your area. Maybe you have an old router. But it could just be your connection to the internet.
Okay.
The other thing, it could be in your local area network. One thing that I have seen in the past is there's five computers on a network. It was performing really slow, going out to the internet. The slowness had nothing to do with their cloud-based practice management software, and it really had nothing to do with their connection to the internet. What was going on is all of the, the computers that were on that local area network, which we kind of talked about in the last podcast, they had Trojan viruses. And these Trojan viruses are designed just to constantly put information out to the internet. They're just, you know, they're a virus, and they're just spitting information out to the internet. So you had five computers that were basically talking all day over the internet. That slowed down the entire office's ability to get to the internet. It wasn't the connection speed to the internet from the service provider. It was within the office itself. So, you know, maybe you need to look at your local area network, have a technician come in and evaluate, see if you have viruses, or see if you have some old technology that can be swapped out to improve the speed of your local area network, which is going to overall improve the overall speed of that cloud-based solution.
Okay.
And a couple of more points I just want to make, because I'm a little passionate about it.
Please.
But it could be that additional training is needed. A lot of times people, when they train on the software, when they first learn how to use some of the functionality, they learn the basic and the simple way to do things, such as entering a payment, scheduling an appointment, because that's the easiest to train. But there are faster ways to do things on a computer, on any system. So you may want to address training. That could be one thing. And then, you know, your system, your cloud-based solution could be slow. There could be faster cloud-based solutions out there. I mean, I've seen even the local client server type networks where, you know, you have the server in your office where one was markedly faster than the other. So it could just be your solution. So to put a blanket statement out there, I don't think is purely accurate. And do your research, see how you can make it faster. Don't just throw up your hands and say, hey, this is slow, so I'm going to go back to this other system. No. Cloud-based solutions are like any other computer software. They're going to have problems. They can be resolved, though. And the biggest point, the final point I want to make here is, having been in this industry, having developed software, having supported software, sold software, done it all, trained it, I would hear the slow thing all the time. In fact, in the practice management software that I designed and developed, people would complain that it was slow. And the frustrating thing is they wouldn't define what slow meant. They would just say it's slow. Mm-hmm. And that gives the technician or the software engineers nothing to go off of. When you say it's slow and you're gonna offer a complaint to your software vendor, try and tell them where it's slow. What are you doing when it's slow? Are you entering a payment? Is it this particular step in entering the payment? Is it after you hit the enter button or click on the OK button with the mouse that it's slow, or is it somewhere else? You know, help the software engineers know where it's slow, why it's or how it's slow, and they'll find out why it's slow, and possibly it could be a quick fix.
Oh, and I agree. And you and I know you get the calls in where somebody says, "Well, the internet is down." Well, that's a pretty broad problem. Probably the entire internet worldwide is not down.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
If you can specify just a bit on that, that really is beneficial.
Yeah, and we talked about that last time. You know, the more specific you can get, the better the solution you're going to get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So now we've evaluated a network system against a cloud system, and we make the decision, hey, we're going to go from our current patient accounting software onto a new cloud-based system. So now we need to make the move. And this is sort of the meat of what we want to discuss on today's podcast. And look, before I get into this, you and I know the trail of tears and bodies that have been left by a poor conversion process. There's hard feelings, there's the lingering bitterness. People get comfortable with their softwares and changing it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, in fact, I don't want to give any names out, but there's some individuals I know who will be listening to this podcast where I was part of their data conversion, and we actually, one of the staff members was so stressed out that, you know, we almost had to call in professional medical help to deal with it.
So,
But I mean, you're gonna get. I've also had some where they, you know, I've been sent out of the office and been called a king, and you know, so it's all over the board. But sometimes scares people away from changing systems. You know, so they'll have this old system from 1982 that really is taking money out of their pocket. You know, because it doesn't have some new features, the latest technology available, and so they'll stay on this old system and stay on this old system because of comfortability. You know, it's comfortable, but also because they dread that data conversion. And I think what you want to touch on today may remove some of those fears, or at least provide ways to alleviate some of those fears, which I hope will allow people to jump into this new technology and reap the benefits.
Okay. And that's it. And I think you made a fantastic point in there too. You know, using the latest technology, you know, whether or not it's a network system or a cloud-based system, that can be a tremendous money saver and productivity tool for your practice. You know, if it's sending statements electronically or filing insurance claims electronically, whatever the feature is that your old software didn't have, it's something that can really help reduce administrative time and let you focus on patient care.
Yeah, and if there's anybody that has firsthand experience at that, it's you. You know, you I would provide the technology for you, but you would get people to jump into these new systems, and it was painful, and you and I got the phone calls, but in the end their profitability increased and the happiness, just they would like to be doctors again because of the technology they embraced, the benefits were there for them. So I'm glad we're touching on this point.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. So let's start out by talking about how we can walk out of conversions a hero and not have to have the EMTs on standby to come into the practice. So let's walk through the steps. First of all, it would seem that you want to organize the data on your old system and get it ready for a conversion. And to do that, you would have to kind of set a cutoff date and say, okay, look, we're going to stop entering in our old system this date and start making entries solely in the new system on this date. Walk us through how this organization process would work.
Yeah, I'll start with this, though. You make a pretty broad assumption there that everybody knows that they need to organize their data on their old system prior to a conversion. A lot of people, it's the old out of sight, out of mind. You know, they've been on this software practice management or this practice management software system for 10 years. There's going to be old data in there. You know, these computers can just accumulate stuff. It's not like a filing cabinet where you can see all the old files. And right. They bother you. You know, it's in the computer system and you don't know it's there and you never consider it. So you bring up a good point that people should know. You do want to organize your data on your old system prior to the conversion, just like if you were going to reorganize your file cabinets prior to a remodeling of your office. You're going to want to do that. So that's a good point, and let's talk a little bit about that, and specifically about the cutoff date. The first thing you want to do when you're organizing your data is get rid of dead weight or old data that's in your system. You know, for example, there may be patients in your database that you've never seen. You know, you record they called in, they filled out a new patient form, you entered them into the system, but you never actually saw the patient. You could have patients in your system that have very, very, very old account balances. This old information, you know, even if it's useful, it's probably useless. Well, I'm sorry, it's not even. The old information is probably useless, so why would you want to convert it at all? And when you think about it, the more data you have, when you do any sort of data conversion or try and transfer that data to the new system, the more data you have, the more errors there's going to be. So removing all of that dead weight is going to make the conversion process less full of errors. As far as cutoff dates, you know, to address your question specifically, in the past I've used the following rule of thumb. You know, you want to convert the most recent 3 years of financial data and 1 year of clinical data. And I've come to this conclusion after talking to many office managers and doctors. You know, as far as the financial side, what that means, you know, if you have a financial account that has more than 3 years since its last financial transaction, that being either an insurance payment or a patient payment or charge, then don't convert the account. There's no need to. Office managers have told us that it's beyond 3 years and nothing's happened. You can pretty much guarantee that that's a bad debt account. Go ahead, get it off your books. Don't convert it.
Okay.
You know, in a similar fashion, if there is an inactive patient clinical record that's older than 1 year with no activity, you haven't done any x-rays, you haven't seen the patient, then don't convert that data either. What doctors have said is, you know, if it's been more than a year, then what you're probably going to have to do is do a full mouth evaluation on the patient when they come in anyway. So there's no reason to convert that data. What I do suggest, though, you know, so those are your cutoff dates, 3 year financial, 1 year clinical.
Okay.
That being said, I always strongly advise, if you can, to make a full printout of the patient financial and clinical summary data before you convert. So that way, you know, if you do need to pull up the old data, then it can be referenced with the printouts. And then the most important thing, I want to touch on this, is before you convert to the new system, always do a backup of your old data.
Please.
It's just always. In fact, you should be doing it every day, even if you're on a cloud-based solution. It's very easy to do. Mm-hmm. Very simple, very quick. So, but the backup prior to conversion is one of the most important things. And yeah, I consider that part of organizing your data.
Yeah, yeah, and that is true. There's nothing scarier than hearing a response that says, backup? What backup?
Yeah, right, right. We could do an entire separate podcast on backing up and the do's and the don'ts and the what's and the whatnots, but we'll save that for another podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so now we've got our 3 years of financial data. We've got our 1 year of clinical data. Now we're ready to start moving the data over to the new system.
Right.
Talk about how that process, because I think at this point in the process, this is where it seems like a lot of things go haywire during the actual transfer.
Yeah. You know, so walking us through this story, like you said, is we've purchased a new system. We're all excited about it. We've started cleaning up our data. Now it needs to go from the old system to the new system. That's the data conversion process we're talking about. And there's two methods of transferring the data to the new system. The first I'll refer to, because I am a computer programmer, and the most reliable is the electronic transfer of data. Now, in an electronic data conversion, a computer programmer such as myself or someone else, because I don't like writing data conversions, but anyway, a computer programmer will develop a computer program that takes the data from the old system and electronically or automatically transfers it to the new system. That's method number one. The other method of transfer is what I call a manual transfer. And the manual transfer kind of is what it sounds like. The data is transferred to the new computer system by having the staff or some other personnel actually key the data into the new system. So they key in patient John J. Smith, their address, and all that information. They would actually get on the keyboard in the new system and key it into the new system.
Okay.
Yeah. In reality, and almost universally, almost all data transfers are a combination of both of these types. So you're going to have a little bit of electronic and a little bit of manual. In my 20 years of doing data conversions, I haven't seen anything that was 100% manual, and even less frequently have I seen a data transfer that was 100% electronic. I wish you would see more of those.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, I've only seen 100% manual conversions in cases where the amount of data was so small or either the old data wasn't available, wasn't accessible, meaning that, you know, the office didn't have a computer system, so all they had was cards. Now, I know this is probably doesn't exist. Hopefully it doesn't exist anymore, but maybe the doctor only had patient cards and treatment cards, and you had to key those into the new system.
Oh,
so,
man, cards. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a 90s concept.
Yeah, well, my father actually just retired recently, and we were going through all of his old stuff, and we found some old cards.
Oh,
I don't know if any of those patients are still alive, but yeah. But so we have two types of conversions that you're going to be looking at, is the point. One, electronic. Two, manual, probably a combination of those, both of those. So be prepared up front that you may have to key something in. And most frequently what I've seen, Bart, is that people have to key in their scheduling data.
Okay.
Most of the demographic data on patients can go over. Most of the financial information can go over. Most of the clinical information can go over. It's just when you get to that appointment scheduler, for some reason, there's not an apples to apples in the industry from one software to the next. So there has to be some manual keying, and that's really not that bad.
Okay. And you know, and to your last point, you know, we all know that in the bigger picture, Apple products have some incompatibility with Microsoft products, which have incompatibility with Google products.
Right.
Well, in the world of dental and orthodontic practice management software, those differences get magnified.
Yeah.
There's really no standard or exact way to do it, and each one of these processes does it, you know, the way they feel best.
Yes.
So
Yes.
you need to be conscious of that.
Definitely. Definitely. And it's like with any and it's not just in the dental, but any software package that's written specifically or written for a specific industry, I should say, is going to have those differences from another package that's written specifically for that same industry. I don't know why, but I would assume it has to do something with the competitive nature of the industry, the smaller market size that they're going after. They try and be unique to other packages, but you know, once again, that's another podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, which is a nice segue into sort of the next step in the process, is that because systems tend to vary so widely, I should say, and wildly, we need to have our data organized or reorganized to fit the new system. What are
Yeah.
some of the issues there, and what are some of the things we can do to make our lives easier there?
You know, and I'm glad you brought this up because I'm going to address it kind of differently than maybe just that word data. One thing is you are going to have the data in your old system. But that's going to be addressed either with the electronic conversion or with the manual conversion, meaning that, you know, if you have a piece of data in your old system that doesn't fit exactly into the new system, well, there's really not much organizing you can do. The conversion is either going to convert it, put it someplace else, or it's not going to convert it, or it's going to convert it. If it is the same piece of data in the same place, it is going to convert it, and it's going to look the same to you. The biggest thing I've seen in conversions has to do with terminology, forms, and procedures that
Okay.
are different to your office on the old system than they are in the new system. Let me just give a few examples to talk about this a bit because I think it's one of the most important things. You know, oftentimes, when you change to that new software package, you're going to be exposed to different terms than you were in the legacy package. For example, I've seen one software call an account with a very old balance a delinquent account, whereas another software package called it a past due account. You know, the account was the same thing. You know, you had a patient with 120 plus day old balance on their account, but the two software packages called it different things.
Yeah, and there are very
There's
different connotations there too. I mean, past due versus delinquent, as to
totally.
how you treat those balances when you're trying to collect them.
Yeah, and Bart, to confound the problem even further, is the old system had delinquent and past due, and the new system only had past due. So it
Jeez.
kind of confused. Yeah, and you can see where that would be confusing.
Absolutely.
You'll also see it on the new patient forms. You know, so what I'm talking about here is patient calls in, schedules an appointment. You may take some information down and enter it into the computer while they're there, but there may be other information that they need to fill out on a manual form once they come into that office for that first patient visit. Well, a lot of times what offices have done, if not all the times, is they'll design that paper form, or the software will design that new patient manual form that you give the patient when they come in based off of the information collected in the software system. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what'll happen is now you go to this new system and it collects different information or doesn't collect some information. So if you don't change your new patient, your physical new patient form around, you could be collecting information that you can't even key into the new system. So, you know, you want to make
Okay.
sure that you change your forms when you go to this new system. If you don't, then you're gonna, there's a got you right there. Yeah, so we talked about forms and terminology, and also there's procedures that can change up. You know, when it could be that maybe you do one step before another when taking a payment, or when you schedule an appointment, you know, you're supposed to ask for the time first before the day, things such as that. So a combination of forms, procedures, and terminology needs to be addressed. The changes that's going to go on before you get onto the new system. That's what I'd like to see a lot of offices reorganize in the future. And that's what I mean by reorganized data. Be aware of the changes you're going to face outside just the operation of the software and try as best you can to organize your operations accordingly. You're going to save yourself some pain.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So now we've got our data moved over and
Changed our forms,
changed our
changed our
forms,
procedures, right?
procedures. We've got our terminology reorganized.
Right.
One last piece before we can go live. We have got to test.
Yes,
Don't,
yes.
yeah, please, 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 please don't do anything on a live basis until you go through that test process. Talk to us about that testing process.
Yeah, and you're right, though, in saying that, please test. You need to, you know, I'm trying to think of a parallel now. It's like, you know, what would you do without testing something first if your life was at risk? And I'm not saying, you know, once again, not referring to that bad conversion, but there are, you know, the practice management software is a big piece of your practice, you know, and it could really give a lot of heartache if it doesn't go right. So would you consider converting without testing? No, you should not. But there are some things that I'd like to talk about when it comes to testing. Honestly, you know, you can test before you go live, but there's only so much that you can test without being able to simulate a live environment. And there's certain things you're not going to uncover. For instance, referring to our first topic of the day, the speed of the system is something that's very, very difficult to test when you're testing your software. You know, the staff might feel that the new system performs slow or fast when there isn't a patient in their face, or a patient on the phone, or a doctor leaning over their shoulder. But when those live bullets start to fly and they're trying to enter a payment, the doctor's asking what's for lunch, and not that doctors are only concerned about.
But lunch is important.
But you know, when the live bullets are flying, systems perform differently. So it's you can test for the speed and say, yeah, scheduling an appointment fast. But when it's the real thing, that's when you're really gonna the rubber meets the road, so to speak. You know, also it's next to impossible, at least at the small business level, which most orthodontic and dental practices are. It's next to impossible to fully test any software packages. Any software package. And today's practice management softwares are so sophisticated and resources are so few in the office that a complete test is really not going to happen. So you're not going to be able to touch every feature, you know, every aspect of the software with every piece of data and test everything. So what I advise clients to do is test the system for accuracy by performing the most common tasks, the tasks you're going to do the majority of the time with the software, such as checking in a balance or checking an appointment, entering a payment or procedure, or you know, rescheduling an appointment. Test those, make sure those work to your standards before you go live. Focus on the most important tasks, test those for accuracy and performance speed. That's the point of what I'm saying there, because really, all you can really do when testing before conversion is try to minimize your exposure to potential problems as much as possible. The big point is that you can no way be 100% sure that you've tested everything. So just choose your time wisely, and I think you'll find the benefits in the long run.
Okay, and I think that's an important point, is that as much as you try to test, as much as you try to be careful during the conversion process, something's probably going to pop up when you go live.
Yeah.
Don't panic, don't worry. Just make sure you have the right people available to help you through it, and just get it solved.
Yes, totally, totally. And hopefully we'll get an opportunity to talk a little bit about leadership later, because that's an important thing to me.
Absolutely. And in fact, we'll probably get into that into this next topic, which I know I'm asking you a loaded question here, and we could probably dedicate an entire blog about to and business to things that go wrong during conversions. But what are some of the most typical things that you see go wrong during the conversion process?
Yeah, when I read this question and started making my napkin notes, I said, "Wow, I'm going to need a lot more napkins." But
They got those 5,000 packs at over at Sam's.
I just whipped out the paper towels and started going on that. But
Okay.
this could be an entire topic, and I tried to focus things that I remembered and kept me up at night and woke me up with the cold sweats and really instill fear in me to this day, as far as the typical pitfalls. So the ones I'm focusing on may not be typical,
Okay.
but these are the ones that I think cause the most pain in my experience. And I have done, I tried to keep count, but I know that I've done conversions from old systems to new systems over 100, and probably conversions within a system, so an upgrade to a version over 1,000 times. So guys, people out there, I have seen this. But point is, let me address this. There is a lot that can go wrong during a conversion. Here are the ones in my experience that have caused the most pain.
Okay.
Top of the list, training on the new software. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into an office the first day of a conversion, so the first day on the new system, and the staff ask how to enter a payment or how to make an appointment. That's a sad sight. There's no reason why you should not be trained up on the new software. Number two, we kind of talked about this earlier, improper account balances on conversions. I had a client
Oh,
that,
yeah.
yeah, I know, and I know that's dear to your heart,
Yes.
and dear to the doctors, and really dear to the patients as well. You got to consider this is a patient concern we're talking about here.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is, because God, do you want to send a statement out to a patient with the wrong account balance?
Oh, man, yeah. That creates all kinds of bad will.
It really does. And I did have this client that converted to the new practice management software, and all of the balances were wrong. What I mean is, like, for one client, the account balance was too high, and for another one, it was too low. And I remember the staff member calling me, Bart, and this was the staff member responsible for patient accounts. And they called in tears because of all the angry patient calls. That just makes sense. It's going to happen. So don't let that happen if you can. Number three on my list is scheduling a full day. Now I'm
Good
talking
point.
directly. Yeah, I'm talking to the doctors on this one, and I'll give you my phone number if you want to call and yell at me later. But no matter how much testing you do, or how accurate the data conversion is, or how well trained your staff is, things are going to go wrong during the first day of operation on the new practice management system. They just are. Maybe even the first week, maybe even the first month. So if you can ease back on the number of patients you'll see during that learning period, that period where you're working out the kinks, it's a simple safeguard measure that the doctor in the office can take that will help the conversion go better. Don't fall into that pitfall. Another pitfall, parallel system. I probably should explain what a parallel system is, right?
Apps, please do.
Okay, so a parallel system is where you're converting to this new software. Let's call it software B, and your old software, let's call software A. You're worried that software B, the conversion or the transition to software B is not going to go well, so you tell your staff, "Hey, how about if we run a parallel system," meaning that we key information into software A and software B at the same time. So when a new patient comes in, you'll take their information and key it into B, then you'll key it into A. That way, if B falls apart, we can go back to software system A.
Got it.
It really sounds, yeah, and you know, so you have a perfect safety net. There's going to be no downtime, no loss of data. If this conversion goes bad, you just go back to the old software. It's not that simple. Do not fall prey to that. That's going to give you a problem. So that's another one of my pitfalls. On the other hand, please do have a backup plan. Okay, you want to have a fallback plan in case the conversion to software B does go bad. Just don't make it software A. Don't run a parallel system. What I mean is, have some sort of manual system that you can fall back on in the event that the conversion does not go well. That's very important to do, and you know, I'm willing to work with anybody to help them develop that, but typically your new software, the company you're converting to, will have some sort of manual system that they'll help you run in the event that the conversion does go bad. They've been through this as much as I have as well. Finally, the other pitfall that I'd like to address is having the proper leadership in place. That can make or break a conversion. You know, if a doctor or office manager goes into a transition to a new system with a sour attitude, the chances of that transition going sour increase dramatically. As best they can, the doctor or the office manager or other leader in the office needs to keep a chin-up attitude. That is going to help the conversion dramatically. And those are my pitfalls. Those are the ones, like I said, that every time it happened, I said, oh, I wish I would have seen that coming. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I think, again, to your point, you know, for all these things, like you said, you don't want to have, you know, a typical 120-day patient day where you got a bunch of shorts running in, because if something does go wrong, then you can't fall back and recover.
Yeah, and so I think I get what you're kind of alluding to is not only now do you have a loss of sanity, mental sanity, but you probably have a loss of production. And that's the thing you want to try and get away from. So maybe easing up on your numbers these first few weeks we're on the new system will help us in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to a point that you had made earlier, you know, Mike, I know you've been through a ton of these things. The Orth Alliance saga of acquisition of 2002 and 3 and 4. I know has left an impression on everybody involved, but there were a lot of conversions involved from a lot of different systems. So if you're out there, you're listening, you have questions, concerns going into it, please, by all means, contact us, hit the website, hit the contact us link, and we are more than happy to give you the best advice we can based on the experience, Mike's experience, my experience. We've done a lot, seen a lot. So
yeah,
definitely stay in touch.
Yeah, and then the other thing is we just love doing it. You know, I know it may sound, we may be all doom and gloom giving this out, but I think what we're trying to do is just prevent the doom and gloom on our client side. But we do love doing it, so I'd love to help anybody convert, help anybody train, help them reorganize their data, their procedures. I'm just one of those weird guys that love it.
Well, you got the weird part right.
But I guess I'm paying for that stinky comment
there
earlier.
There you go. You knew it was coming back to you.
Oh yeah, I should know. As soon as I said it, I wanted to take it back.
but in all seriousness, Mike, we appreciate your time today again. As always, great stuff, great information, and we'll have a link to the first podcast posted up with this post, and you know, and information on how you can get in touch with us if you have any kind of questions about any part of this process. So, Mike, thanks again today, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you very much, and I can't wait to talk to you next time.
Okay, man.
All right. Bye-bye.